You ready? I'm ready. The Playmakers Bar Podcast present Hoops Talk, hosted by Darnell the Playmaker Salins. NBA, college basketball, playoffs, March Madness. No matter what, we talking hoops, man. Let's get it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Hoops Talk, hosted by your boy, the Playmaker Donna Sons out here in Jacksonville, Florida. The women's game is in the Sweet 16 now because last night's games were the finishing touches of the second round, so the first weekend of the women's tournament is done. We got to talk about it. Like I did the men on the previous episode, we got to talk about the ladies, so this is your second Hoops Talk episode for the week. Let's talk about the women's, and let's just go right down the line, and let's get right into it. South Carolina handed business against Howard. One too much to do. 79-21. Good gracious, that was just a beat down. All right, we're going to move on. Next up, it was the battle of two Florida teams. If y'all saw any of my articles that I wrote for the women when it comes to the Florida teams, y'all should go check those out on the Playmakers Bar website. Please do. And plus, you can check out everything that we do as far as articles, podcasts, shop stores, all that is on our website, playmakersbar.com. It was the Miami Hurricanes versus the South Florida Bulls. And a game that I had a hard time doing because Miami was a good team. I just had South Florida winning because they was second best in their conference. But, yo, Miami handled their business, man. Miami, put it on them, girl. 78-66. Shout out to the Hurricanes of Miami. They have moved on to the second round. We get down to our 5-12 seed. Oh, by the way, I'm in the Greensboro region. I'm just going straight down the bracket. I'm in the Greensboro region. We had North Carolina versus Stephen F. Austin in that region. And, Yeah, there's a team that I didn't really pay attention to that I supposed to pay attention to. It'd be the Tar Heels. But Tar Heels, they did not suffer the 12-5 upset as they beat Stephen F. Austin 79-66. Moving on down to the 4-13 matchup, it was Arizona versus UNLV. You know Arizona's going to do their thing against UNLV. You know, you just had to know what it was when it came to UNLV and Arizona. But UNLV played their hearts out. You know, but Arizona pulled it out 72-67. So the Lady Wildcats of Arizona moved on. It was Georgia versus Dayton. And to be honest, I almost pulled the upset. I almost called Dayton to pull. No, I did call Dayton for the upset. And they didn't. There's a lot of people must have did it because Georgia felt some type of way because they beat them girls by 16, 70-54. Them Georgia girls weren't playing them that one. But hey, it's tournament, so you got to be on your P's and Q's. And then, you know, and speaking of being on your P's and Q's, Iowa State, the 3 seed in the Greensboro region, going against the 14 seed UT Arlington. And I got to say, I don't think, the Cyclones were impressed with UT Arlington because, I gotta say, they was impressed because UT Arlington came to play. 78-71, the Cyclones survived. That was it. And then we started knocking down the upsets in here. Because it was Iowa with Clayton Clark versus Creighton. And I didn't feel right. Nope, I'm skipping. It was Colorado versus Creighton 17. Sorry. Creighton versus Colorado 17 matchup. And like I said, Creighton can shoot. But I didn't pull the trigger. 84-74. Them girls of Creighton, they can shoot. How do you feed a team that can shoot? 50% from the field, 42% from three-point range, 90% from the free throw line. How do you beat that? You don't. Unless you're shooting that well yourself. So Creighton took down Colorado when our first upset. Iowa versus Illinois State. And I don't think Peyton Clark was going to have an upset in her house. Not in her house. Not in Iowa City. 98-58 over the Redbirds of Iowa State and Illinois State. Good season, Illinois State. But hey, that went against Clayton Carton. That was the Greensboro region. Let's go down to the Wichita region. Head by number one, Louisville. Louisville took on 16 seed Albany. Sometimes I just feel bad at how they do these seedings. And you just know some teams just don't have a chance in hell. Albany didn't have a chance in hell. 83-51, the Cardinals moving on. Then you had the 8-9 matchup between Nebraska and Gonzaga. Told you, the 8-9 matches is always tricky to pick. This one, you had a good Gonzaga team against Nebraska. And Gonzaga showed their dominance. 68-55. The Gonzaga took out the Cornhuskers. And then we get to our second upset, which falls into the Wichita bracket. It was Belmont, the 12th seed, versus Oregon, the 5th seed. And I be damned. For those of you who know me, y'all know I'm a Gator fan, but y'all know I love Oregon. But I be damned. Sat here and watched this game. I actually watched it with my mama too. And I was telling them, you can't give Belmont open looks. You give Belmont open looks, they're going to knock them down. And what do you know? They got an open look. That was a dagger to the Oregon Ducks in double overtime. Belmont took down 5. Oregon 73-70 in double overtime. Nobody shot the ball very well. I mean, Belmont 35% from the field, 33% from three-point range, 65% from the free throw line. Oregon ain't look much better. 38% from the field, 19% from three-point range, and 71% from the free throw line. It was that, but when you gave them an open shot, Belmont knocked them down. They ain't have a lot of open shots, but when they got the open shots, they knocked them down. You can't give a team like Belmont open shots. You just can't. It comes back to get you. And it did Oregon. The 4th seed in the Wichita region, the Tennessee Volunteers, the Lady Volunteers, going up against the 13th seed, the Buffalo Bulls. And do I dare say that the Volunteers ran up some Bulls? Because this was done. It was a done deal. This was a done deal. Close print. As soon as the second half took place, Tennessee said, all right, we had enough. 80-67. Bulls fought hard for first half, but second half, Tennessee took over. This is all there is to it. And then we get to the 6-11 game in the Wichita region. The 6th seed, the BYU Cougars versus the 11th seed, the Villanova Wildcats. The Lady Wildcats of Villanova. Sent the message. Don't y'all count us out. As they shocked 6th seed, the Cougars, 61-57, the Wildcats took down the 6th seed of the Cougars. And then we get to the 3-14 matchup, Michigan American. You know, like I said, American wasn't going to be no mess with these Wolverine girls. They wasn't. 74-39. I mean, the blowouts is just blowouts. Just real big blowouts around here. I don't understand it. The blowouts is ridiculous in these games. And then we get to one of the big upsets. And I mean big upsets for the first round. If we're talking about upsets in the first round, there's no one bigger than this one I'm finna get to. Number 7, Ole Miss. Number 10, South Dakota State. Because Ole Miss was a top 4 team in the SEC. South Carolina, LSU, Ole Miss. Who else I'm missing? Kentucky ended up winning it, but there was a 7th seed in that tournament. So it's... When you talk... Oh, Tennessee. I forgot Tennessee. I just talked about Tennessee. So when you looked at Ole Miss versus South Dakota, you just had a feeling. It was Ole Miss. It was Ole Miss, man. Despite the city and all that, you're like, yo, Ole Miss should win this, man. Ole Miss. I like the Ole Miss team. I like how they're coaching. You just felt it was Ole Miss, but yeah. South Dakota had other plans. They had other plans. 75-61. They took down the Rebels. The Coyotes took down the Rebels. I mean, how do you take down a team like Ole Miss? You shoot 56% from the field. You shoot 53% from three-point range. And you shoot 73% from the free throw line. You go 11 for 15 from the line. You go 6 for 14 from three. 29 out of 52. And you make them be 39% from the field. Shooting 60% from three. And 69% from the free throw line. You pretty much balance your scoring out. And you make them struggle in 2 out of the 3. Good job, South Dakota. You made a believer out of me. And then we'll get to the second round of what y'all did. But the shocker of the first round is South Dakota taking out Ole Miss for me. This is what it is. That was the Wichita region. Let's move quickly over to the Spokane region. Because in the Spokane region, number one in the Spokane region is the Stanford Cardinals. And if you thought... If anybody felt that Montana State was going to pull out a miracle here, I don't know what you were thinking. I had no idea what you were thinking because, let's be for real. This is the reigning defending champions here in Stanford Cardinals. Now, don't get me wrong. I know this defending champs on the men's side of Baylor, they got beat. But they got beat in the second round by a blue blood. They damn self against North Carolina. This right here is Montana State. There was no chance in hell they was going to play. 78-37. The defending champs moving on to the second round. Then you got Kansas versus Georgia Tech. In a game where Georgia Tech didn't show up. Georgia Tech did not show up for this game. I don't know what happened. No, I take that back. They forgot what they did in the first quarter in the last three quarters. So they jumped out to a 22-13 lead after the first quarter. And then from there on, Kansas just put it on them. They just put it on them. Put it on them. 78-55. Okay. I mean, from the... Georgia Tech had a 9-point lead after 22-13 after one. 22-13 after one. Georgia Tech can only score 36 points in the three quarters left. From the first quarter to the fourth, from the first quarter, 22 points. From quarters 2 through 4, it was only 36 points scored. Kansas only scored 13 points in the first quarter, and they ended up dropping 64 in the next three quarters. I don't know what happened to Georgia Tech. I don't know. I can't even explain it. I don't even know what happened. But goddamn. You was up 9 after opening the quarter and you got blown the doors off you in the next three quarters. Blown the doors off you. Okay? These things happen in March. Virginia Tech, the 5th seed, taking on the 12th seed, the Florida Gulf Coast. I will give myself credit on it because I did pick the Meagles to take down the Hoagies. What a game for the Eagles. I mean, I gotta say though, that was a very intriguing game to watch. very intriguing game to watch. You know, you know that Florida Gulf Coast was gonna do their thing. You know, it's Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech gonna show up and do their thing too. It was a very intriguing game to watch. I enjoyed the game. Matter of fact, I'm just gonna say this right now. I'm enjoying the ladies' game just as much as I'm enjoying the men. I'm just gonna be honest with you, because these games here are fantastic. And I do mean fantastic. Okay, I'm enjoying these games. These games have been fun to watch for the ladies. But shout out to Florida Gulf Coast taking down the fifth seed Virginia Tech Hokies in a thrilling game. Kristen Bell did her thing. You know, she had 22 points. Man, shout out to Elizabeth Catley, because for you to score 42 points and not be enough is heartbreaking. I've seen a lot in the men's game. I believe Carson Edwards, I think that's around the last time Purdue got into the Sweet 16 Elite 8 range. He had like 40-something points in a losing effort at the end of the season. You hate that. You hate to see a player like Elizabeth Cartley play her ass off the way that she did for her team. And it just don't be enough. I mean, 42 points, 8 boards. She didn't have no help. The next closest person was Amore with 12. That was about it. But if you look at the Florida Gulf Coast, we're talking Kristen Bell, 22 points, 8 boards. You're looking at Morehouse, 13 points, 9 assists. Phyllis, 11 points, 5 boards. See off the bench, 12 points. Florida Gulf Coast, they had some help. Want no help for Virginia Tech. 84-81, Florida Gulf Coast gets the 5-12 upset in the Spokane region. And then we get down to the 4 seed Maryland versus the 13 seed Delaware. Yeah. It's Maryland, man. It's Maryland. Maryland's always a top four seed in the region for a reason. Delaware found that out the hard way. 102-71. It is what it is. Then you had Ohio State taking on Missouri State, who won their first 4 games against Florida State. And I do believe that Missouri State had their opportunities at the beginning. They had their chances. But then it gets to a point where when you're not making your opportunities count, while you're trying to keep the game close and you went striking distance, that the other team, that's the superior team, puts the clamps on it. 63-56, the Buckeyes take out Missouri State. Then you get your 3-14 matchup with LSU and Jackson State. LSU struggled, and I do mean struggled in this. I don't know what happened. I don't know if they undermessed Jackson State, because they are Jackson State, but Jackson State is a 23-17 team this season. I mean, Jackson State was in control for most of this game. It was back and forth. I was fearful that LSU was going to go down. But somehow, I need to know the rules. Somebody find me the rule, because the basket was scored. The LSU player grabbed the ball, tossed it to the ref. They got teed up. The commentator said it's in the rule, but that you can't do that. Why you can't do that in the women's game when men do it all the freaking time? Seriously. That bothers me when I watch this game. I'm like, only thing she did was take the ball out the bucket, threw it to the ref. Why does that get? Mind for not only that was a technical foul, that was a fifth and final foul. Lockett, that's who it was. Only thing she did was take the, no, not Lockett. I'm looking at the wrong one. Wrong team. That would be pain for LSU. I need to find me the rule on this, because Ryan Payne for LSU, the senior guard, should not have been, first of all, shouldn't have been teed up. Only thing she did was take the ball out the basket after a mid bucket and threw it to the ref. her team, LSU, scores. She grabbed the ball out the basket, gave it to the ref. Why is she getting teed up for that? She didn't hold the ball. She didn't cause a delay game. She ain't do none of that. Ball came through the hoop. She grabbed it, tossed it to the ref so the refs can get the ball to Jackson State and we can get the game going. That's all she did. But why is that a rule in a women's game that's not in the men's? See, now that we starting to get into this era of finding ways to make things equal for women just as men, we starting to see how the rules are different. That is one of the stupidest rules I have ever heard of in my life when it comes to basketball. Men, for college, high school, professional, no matter what, high school, college, in the men's game, you take the ball out, you see the ball go through the bucket, you catch it, you give it to the ref, and you keep the game going. But in the women get teed up for that? Because if you know anything about college, a technical foul is a personal foul as well. So not only did she get a tech, that was an added personal foul, which means that was her fifth, which is stupid. Which was really stupid. And from that point on, that's when LSU started taking off. And Jackson State could not find a bucket. Matter of fact, Jackson State was leading at that moment in time, too, if I remember correctly. Let me go back in here. I believe Jackson State was leading at that moment in time. And from that point forward, LSU went on a run like no other. They just went on a crazy run. And Jackson State could not stop it. They couldn't stop it. So LSU survived at home. It took some controversy for it to take place. But hey, a win's a win in March. A win's a win in March. Now we got Utah versus Arkansas in a 7-10 matchup. Utah took care of Arkansas, to my chagrin, because I actually picked Arkansas. But it is what it is. Shout out to the Utah Utes on that one. Texas versus Fairville. And that first quarter was tricky. 14-9, Texas way. But that first quarter was tricky, man. I don't know what happened in the first quarter. I don't know if both teams came out flat or whatnot. But once the second quarter hit, Texas picked it up. And once Texas picked it up, Fairfield didn't have a shot. 70-52, Longhorns. That was the Spokane region. Bridgeport region, led by the number one team in this bracket, the NC State Wolfpack. They were taking on 16 seed Longwood. And like I said, for the men, I got to do it for the women. Longwood, great story. First ever tournament. First ever winning your conference. First ever winning your tournament. Great story. Story of that week or champ week was Longwood. But now we in tournament play and y'all about to get y'all ass whooped. And that's like what NC State did. 96-68. They just tossed Longwood to the side and said, y'all get out of here. The 8-9 matchup was the 8 seed Washington State versus the 9 seed the Kansas State Wildcats. And Kansas State just outplayed them. I mean, literally, just outplay. From 5-9 after the first quarter to 50-40, Kansas State just outplayed you, Washington State. The Wildcats has outplayed the Cougars. That's all I can say on that one. 5-12, Notre Dame versus UMass. And you might have had some jitters in this one because you don't know what type of team UMass was going to come out and be against the Fighting Irish. But the Fighting Irish, they took their punches. But they kept punching back. And Irish punches are more harder than Mass's punches. So Notre Dame take it by 11, 89-78. Shout out to the Fighting Irish. Then you get to Oklahoma, the 4 seed, playing against IUPUI, Jaguars. And you know, am I surprised the way this game went? No. Because IUPUI got a squad. They can play. They showed it against Oklahoma. You know, they kept it close and cut. But, hey. Tyler Robinson, 22 points. The lead away from the Sooners to get past the 13-minded seeded IUPUI. And then we get down to the final two games. We had UConn versus Mercer. I called y'all the two seed. It's the monster of the tournament. We can talk about South Carolina. We can talk about Louisville. We can talk about Baylor. We can talk about Tennessee. We can talk about Stanford. But when the monster is in the tournament, meaning the UConn Huskies are in the tournament, you pay attention. You pay attention, damn it. And damn it, they had to beat Mercer like they did. They had to beat Mercer like that. They didn't have to flip their score around. They didn't have to do them like that, man. 83-38. You didn't have to flip their score around. That's disrespectful. That's just disrespectful. Mercer couldn't even score in the third damn quarter. Mercer got outscored 20-0 to start the second half. 20-0. That's just the monsters, man. The monsters are in the tournament. You better pay attention. And then the game that breaks my heart. UCF the 7 seed versus the Florida Gators the 10 seed. But yeah, I'm gonna recap y'all. I've been a long life Gator fan, but I went to UCF. Long life Gator fan went to UCF, okay? So I am tied in a knot here, okay? I had to pick a winner, and I did pick the winner. I picked UCF to beat my Gators, and they did just that. Gators fought hard, but somehow when it got to that fourth quarter was tough, man. You got it within three, but you couldn't capitalize on it in UCF. Did what they had to do. Brittany Smith, 26 points to lead the way for the Knights as they knocked off the 7th seed. But shout out to UCF. That was their first ever win against the Florida Gators. And their first ever NCAA tournament win. So congratulations to that. Congratulations, all right? Take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to get into what happened in the second round of the women's tournament. The setup, what's going to take place in the Sweet 16. We'll be right back. All right, thank you for sticking around now. Let's get into the second round. What took place second round? We talking Sunday and Monday. Sunday and Monday. And what took place in the second round? South Carolina against Miami. Besides losing to Missouri at the buzzer and losing to Kentucky in the SEC championship game, South Carolina had their hands full with Miami. One of the lowest scoring game in the tournament so far was South Carolina and Miami, because Miami played some defense. It took a lot out of South Carolina now. 49-33 win for the Gamecocks. To keep it going, but it was. Let me say that score. 49-33. A total of 82 points scored in this game. That is defense at its prime. Now, the thing was, Miami played some defense, but South Carolina also played defense too. So, Dawn Staley was not. I'm pretty sure she wasn't pleased with her team performances on the offensive end. But you credit Miami, because Miami is one of the good defensive teams in the country. And they proved it. But hey. The Gamecocks got it done. They moved on to the Sweet 16. Then we get to the 4-5 matchup, Arizona versus North Carolina. Good gracious. Oh my gosh. What was that? What has gotten to North Carolina? What has gotten to North Carolina men's and women's right now? Because they around here blasting people. The men blasted the defending champ Taylor the way that they did. They blew a 25-point lead, but they still end up winning in overtime. And then you have the Lady Tar Heels over here blasting their Wildcats 63-45. What the world is going on here? Hey, man, the Carolina Blue is trying to remind people. Y'all must have forgot. We still a blue blood program over here. Y'all must have forgot who we are. Shout out to North Carolina. They are in the Sweet 16. Moving on down the Greensboro region, you had Georgia versus Iowa State. And for a quick minute, you thought Georgia was going to do something. And then Iowa State went on their run to finish off the first quarter 23-7. And then from that point on, Georgia didn't have a shot in hell. Final score was 67-40 for the Cyclones ousted the Bulldogs just ridiculously. Okay. And then we get to Creighton versus Iowa. And then you talking about busting brackets. Clayton Clark at home in Iowa City messed around and Creighton caught him. I don't think Creighton trusted in this whole game. Because Creighton was the better team. Both teams shot 36% from the field. Creighton outshot them from the three-point range 29% to 23%. Iowa hit their free throws at a 88% rate to Creighton's 66% rate. The rebounding, man. Creighton out rebounded Iowa 52-37. You gave Creighton more opportunities at the Apple and they capitalized on it. They busted a lot of brackets, man. Creighton busted a lot of brackets with that one. Clayton Clark, sorry that's how your season had to end. We wanted to see you get a deep run, but Creighton was just the better team. They wanted it more. They just wanted it more. Shout out to Creighton Blue Jays. They are in the Sweet 16. That's your Greensboro bracket. South Carolina, North Carolina, Iowa State, and Creighton. Wichita region, Wichita bracket. Louisville versus Gonzaga. Hey, man. Gonzaga played their ass off. Gonzaga played their ass off, but it is Louisville we're talking about. It is Louisville. Louisville. You cannot shoot 20% from three-point range, 38% from the field, and think you're going to beat the Cardinals. It is not going to happen because the Cardinals shoot 41% from the field, 29% from three. There go your difference right there. 68-59. The Cardinals move on. And then you talking about another bracket busted out. Almost took place, but it didn't. Belmont, the 12th seed, taking on the 4th seed, Tennessee, in the Wichita region. Like I said, if you don't give them open shots, they don't knock them down. Tennessee did not give them open shots down the stretch to survive this one. They won 70-67. Belmont, 37% from the field, 26% from three, 50% from the line. That's a recipe to lose. When you shoot 30% from the field, you're in the 20s in three-point range, and you win the 50s. You only hit half of your free throw shot. That's a recipe for a loss. While Tennessee shot 44% from the field, 23% from three, and they hit 64% of their free throws. That's how Tennessee survived Belmont. Moving on down. Villanova versus Michigan. And the Michigan ladies were not having it. They were not messing around with Villanova, okay? Villanova took the early lead. And then Michigan started to pull it on. And they really started to pull it on. We're talking 64-49 victory for the Lady Wolverines as they are in the Sweet 16. And then we talking South Dakota versus Baylor. And South Dakota did it again. Even in a more bigger fashion. I said them knocking off Ole Miss was the big one for me in the first round, the second round, and pretty much the rest of this tournament. South Dakota took out Baylor. Not only did they take out Baylor, they dominated Baylor. They outscored Baylor 16-4 in the first quarter, and Baylor could never catch up. Baylor just could not catch up. You can see it in their face. The Lady Bears just looked at it like, I can't believe you're getting beat like this. This is not happening. And it was in Waco, Texas. 61-47, the Coyotes took out the Lady Bears. And this is where my bracket gets busted because I had Baylor in the Final Four. South Dakota said nope to all that. The Coyotes. If St. Peter's would be the men's team of the week, the women's team of the week would be South Dakota, man, because South Dakota, not only took out Ole Miss, a top four team from the SEC, you took out Baylor, a perennial favorite to make it out of the region, even probably more than Louisville and Tennessee. You took them out. You took them out. Shout out to the Coyotes, man. Y'all did a hell of a job. That's the West Side region. Louisville, Tennessee, Michigan, South Dakota State. Now let's head over to the Spoken region, because we had Stanford, the number one seed, versus Kansas. And there's a reason why Stanford's the reigning defending champion when it comes to the women's. Because after that first half, when the game was a two-point game, yeah, the Stanford Cardinals came out in the second half and said, okay, we had enough of each other. Y'all got to get out of here. And sent Kansas all the way back to Kansas. And then we had Florida Gulf Coast, the 12 seed versus the 4 seed Maryland. Woo! They had their chances, man. They had a chance, but after a while, the defense of Maryland and the inability to hit the three-point ball like Florida Gulf Coast does was their detriment. Maryland had them that had held Florida Gulf Coast to 39% shooting from the field, 31% from three, 67% from the free throw line. While Maryland shot 51% from the field, 44% from three-point range, and 43% from the free throw line. That's how you end a three-point shooting team. You hold them down. You make them take tough shots. They shots were not dropping, and eventually Maryland pulled away, and Florida Gulf Coast can do nothing about it. 89-65, that's the end. Kristen Bell's season is over. One of the top players in the country, but her season came to an end, and she had a very rough game for Florida Gulf Coast. 6-for-20 from the field, 2-for-13 from the three-point range, only 14 points. Recipe for disaster. That's what Maryland did to them. Shout out to the American Terrapins. Ohio State versus LSU down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And LSU didn't come. I still don't know to this day what happened to LSU. This happened yesterday, but I don't know what happened. I'm looking at the numbers. I'm looking at the stats. I can tell you the stats and all that. But, excuse me. I'm mind blown by this. The Buckeyes went into Baton Rouge and told LSU, stay your asses home. 79-64. They beat them by 15. I mean, they did shoot the ball pretty well. 48% from the field, 56% from three-point range, 81% free throws. I mean, yo, LSU can do nothing. 25% from three. 37% from the field, shooting, making half of your free throws. I mean, y'all starting to see a theme here when it comes to the NCAA tournament, both men and women. If you can shoot the three-point at a good rate, if you can hit more than half of your damn free throws, and you can shoot well from the field, you're going to win games. LSU didn't do that. Ohio State did. Ohio State's moving on. LSU staying home. Would you look at that? Utah versus Texas to close out the Spokane region. Hey, man. Them Texas girls is something else. Them Texas girls is something else. Yo, if you can't play 40 minutes against Texas, you're going to lose. You have to play 40 minutes. You can't take a quarter off. No, you cannot take one quarter off. Utah did good. They was only down two after the first. And then you let Texas outscore you 25-13 in the second quarter. And that was the end of that. But then they decided to come out in the third quarter and beat you 20-12 in the third quarter. That was the end of it. You have to play Texas for all 40 minutes. If I can talk to my girl Megan right now, she would tell you the exact same thing. Matter of fact, shout out to Megan Price, queen of hoops. You know, 806 Sports and NBA Carousel, all that good stuff on Sideline Sports. But if you don't play 40 minutes with Texas, you're going to lose. You got to play 40 minutes. You can't have drafts. You just can't. So 78-56, the Longhorns take that one. That's your Spokane region. Stanford, Maryland, Ohio State, Texas. And then we get down to the Bridgeport region. NC State versus Kansas State. It is pretty much the same thing they did along with NC State, 89. Kansas State, 57. Goodbye, Wildcats. The entire state of Kansas is gone. Notre Dame versus Oklahoma. And South Dakota gets my team of the week. Okay, for beating Ole Miss and beating Baylor. South Dakota gets that. But performance of the tournament so far is goddamn Notre Dame. In Norman, Oklahoma, against the 4-seed Sooners in their own building, you go for 108 points. 108. No overtime needed. You drop 60 in the first half. Sick. Lord. Oh, my gosh. I don't think y'all understand how magnitude this is. Notre Dame came out against Oklahoma. They got 35 points in the first quarter. The first quarter ended 35-12. They proceeded to go to the second quarter and dropped 25 to Oklahoma 13. It is 60-25 at halftime. And they went on to drop another 25 points to begin the third quarter. And they finished off with 23 in the fourth quarter. They scored 108 points. As the fifth seed over the fourth seed, Notre Dame put on a shooting clinic. 54% from the field, 40% from three-point range. I mean, they hit 10 out of 25 threes. That's already 30 points by itself. They went 41 for 76 from the field. They had 16 free throws. It just baffled how lights out these girls were. They had 16 steals. Oklahoma had 28 turnovers. It was just a bad game for everybody in Norman. I believe the fans couldn't understand what was going on with the Sooners. But Notre Dame put on a show. Performance of the weekend goes to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish girls for that. Right. 108 points. I don't even think none of the men even got to 100 points within their first two rounds. That's just ridiculous. Shout out to the Fighting Irish. Princeton in Indiana, that was your 3 matchup because, you know, Princeton somehow shocked the world and took out the SEC champions in Kentucky. They almost did it again. 56-55. The Hoosiers survived. And I do mean survived because if Princeton would have put it, so I'd be talking to them in the same light I've been talking about South Dakota. If they would have knocked off Kentucky, who won the SEC, and then you knocked off Indiana? Oh, man. Don't get no better than that. But, hey, Indiana survived by 1 point. 1 point. Survive and move on. And speaking of surviving New Orleans, we're talking about the final game in the Bridgeport bracket. And the final game we're going to talk about, UCF Knights versus UConn. 7-2. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't even care about my bracket when it came to this game. I had UConn going to the championship game. I didn't even care. I wanted UCF to knock them out. Like I said, long life Gator fan, went to UCF, so you know where my heart is at. I wanted the Knights to take them out. They had every opportunity. They had every opportunity to do it. But they couldn't put a stretch together to get it done. They couldn't put that one key stretch together to get it done. You held UConn to 52 points. You don't hold UConn to 52 points. Anybody who knows women basketball, when it comes to Gina Onyema and the UConn Huskies, you don't hold them to 52 points. You just don't do that. The Knights did. Problem is, they only can get up 47 points. That's the only problem. And one of the main problems, the reason why they couldn't capitalize on holding UConn to 52 points, is because they couldn't hit their free throws, man. 10 for 20 from the free throw line were the Knights. If you're going to upset UConn, everything got to be on point. Your defense was on point, okay? You shot better than UConn from the field. You shot better than UConn from three-point range. But you went 10 for 20 from the free throw line. The Huskies went 18 for 23 from the free throw line. One, that's 8 more points from the free throw line than you. Secondly, you missed 10 free throws. They only missed 5. you did everything right except hit your free throws. If you hit your free throws, UConn is going home. UConn's going home. And the world is stunned because the Monsters is out. The Monster is gone. But you didn't dot your I's and you didn't cross your T's. That's the only thing you didn't do, UCF. You didn't dot your I's and you didn't cross your T's. That's the only thing you didn't do because you didn't hit your free throws. The Monsters of UConn are still in the tournament. And I'm telling you now, if you're Indiana, you play your game. But just know, if you ain't point from the field, from three-point range, from the free throw line, and defense, UConn will beat you. And I've just proved it to you right here. UConn shot 30% from the field. When does UConn ever shoot 30% from the field? When does UConn ever shoot 33% from three-point range? UCF did that. The number one defense in the country showed you that you can lock up UConn. But you didn't hit your free throws, man. And anybody will tell you, when it comes to this time of the month in college, you gotta hit your free throws. My girls didn't hit their free throws, so that's how that ends. Shout out to UConn, they got it done. So, in your Bridgeport region for your Sweet 16, NC State, Notre Dame, Indiana, UConn. That's all I got for y'all today, man. The ladies' Sweet 16 gets started on Friday and Saturday. Elite 8, Sunday and Monday. Then we'll get ready for the Final Four and the National Championship. So, from right here in Jacksonville, Florida, the Playmaker, Donnell Sons out here. I will catch y'all later for more basketball talk. Deuces.
Whew. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoy bringing it to you. So, if you want to stay updated and know when new episodes of Hoop Talks come out, subscribe and follow to the podcast. You can do this on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Speaker.com, or any of your favorite platforms, including iTunes/Apple Podcasts. And for those of you who are listening on iTunes and Apple Podcasts, go ahead and drop a rate and review of the podcast to let us know how we're doing, how we can improve. And for those of you who want to see any other podcasts that we got going on, go ahead and subscribe to our website, theplaymakersblog.com, and you can see all the podcasts that we do. Until next time for Hoops Talk, it's your boy, the Playmaker, Donnell Solomon, signing off.